You ever laugh at the wrong time?
Yeah.
I have, and it's also a recurring nightmare of mine.
Oh, really?
Like recurring, what do you mean recurring
nightmare? Like in your sleep, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, like I will have a recurring nightmare where I will, like in the wrong, inappropriate timing,
stop.
Either fall asleep or laugh out loud.
Oh,
and then whoever's like talking, you know, it could be at church or it could be like in a setting like this, like, oh, do you have something to say, Nate?
This is a reoccurring nightmare you experience.
That's crazy.
What a nightmare.
That is a nightmare.
Did this happen to you when you were young?
I'm sure at some point, like I mean, I was always get in trouble for talking and laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds on brand.
Yeah, very on brand. Did this ever happen to you? Have you ever laughed at the wrong time?
Yes, definitely. I have laughed. No, I've laughed. I guess I got nervous. I think of one particular instance, and I was telling a story about why I was like, in some situation, and the backstory was like kind of sad, and I like kind of chuckled, but I was chuckling because it's like, this is such a weird story. And someone was like, why are you laughing about that? I was like,
oh.
I was like, I'm so sorry.
Like when you get shut down laughing, that's a pause right there. That's a big, that's a like, I'm not supposed to be, I'm so sorry, misread
so
this
sorry.
Moment.
Yeah. And then you're not sure if other people are like, oh yeah, ha ha ha. Or if they're like.
Yeah. When I have a memory when I was in high school, my dad and his friends were like down, we had this downstairs, they're like watching football, and I tell this joke, and my dad looked at me like I was the worst human I've ever, that he's ever met. And his friends just kind of looked at me like, did you really just say that?
No.
And I just like, I was in high school and everything, I was like, I'm going to go upstairs now. Like,
yep.
I thought that was so funny. None of you thought this was funny.
Yeah, I've had that. I've, you know, shown some memes to like, either, you know, some family members, and it's just
yes.
Either it goes over their head or they're just like,
yes.
Is the opposite is the worst, is when something's so funny to you.
Yeah.
Is not funny to anybody else.
I gotta show you this video.
Yes.
Like, this happens to my wife. I don't think she's ever laughed at anything I've ever laughed at.
Yeah.
And it's so demoralizing.
No, yeah, it's just the worst.
I didn't think it was funny either. Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, when you, that's the thing about people that are funny too, is that they're constantly living with a risk factor.
Yes.
They're just putting themselves out there. Like, did you watch Shane Gillis, the SNL opening monologue?
Yeah.
Like, he's just out there he's throwing haymakers and he's like, you guys don't think that's funny? I thought that was funny. And he's like, wait, you don't think it's funny that I make fun of my dad or my mom? It's like,
people laugh at this stuff.
Oh man, yeah, right. This guy was getting kicked. It also just goes to show you what some people think is funny. Other people are like, I am offended.
Yeah.
You collect rocks? I hate you. Yet some people are like, wow, the rock collector girls.
Are you single?
There was a lot of positive feedback about the rocks. Okay?
Now, when you say a lot, is that two or three people? Or
no, in the comments, people were standing with me and saying, this is normal. I do this. This is fun. And I said, you're my people. Not everyone understands.
No, I think there's a lot of theater people out there. I think there's a lot.
And what is wrong with theater people are crazy.
No,
we just said they're out there.
Yeah,
they're
out there. Yeah. And I've got some of my family. Yeah, I got some of my family.
Yeah.
Julia, if I didn't rescue her, could have been. I'm just kidding. Discipleship is powerful. Anyways, it's just the worst when you're up there doing your darndest to tell a joke socially or even, you know, publicly on stage. And you're saying jokes and you're trying your best and people are just like,
not having it.
Yeah.
You dirty diaper.
That is terrible. I've never heard that.
That's a new one.
That is vile.
But it's got a good reaction.
That's a good one.
Yep.
I love it.
In other words, that joke landed. It's just the worst when you're... I'm trying to think of an instance where I was recently even, you know, as a public communicator trying to say something funny. It's just like, okay. In fact, when something doesn't land, I like to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it that kind of redeems it, slightly,
does.
Like an eighth of a redemption.
Yeah, the self-deprecating part. Well, mm-hmm. That didn't go how I thought.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Worked in the other ones.
Nope. Yeah. You didn't like. Oh, I thought it was funny. Yeah. I like. You know, it's going bad when you have to say, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I thought we'd have a better time. I thought. What, you know? What's so crazy is like. Certain people are just like, they're so easy to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people are just like, they're just quick to laugh.
They just think, I feel so good around those people.
Yeah,
like, you think I'm hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, you get around some people and like you're trying and they're just kind of looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not naming names. Jen Ryan. But I was thinking a couple jokes I said yesterday. He just kind of is like,
just kind of nods.
Just kind of looks at you.
A little narrow of the eyes.
Yeah, just looks at you like.
Yeah.
But that could, are you done yet? That could be entertained for him.
Could be.
Oh, he could be having the time of his life. I just don't know.
Yeah. You know he's really like worshiping when his hands are in his pockets and his like his head tilts a little bit.
Stop. Stop. Start the pod. I can't with these people. Hey, welcome back everybody to another episode of Leadership. Nope, don't you do it. Lean in. We're leaning in to the subject of leadership just to get a little bit just today. We're going to get a little bit better than yesterday. And it's impossible to promise perfection, but today we are going to promise and deliver progress.
That's right.
As promised progress. Today is a big deal. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. But before we go anywhere, hit the like and subscribe button right here on our channel. If you're watching the YouTube, if you are audio listener, thank you so much. Hit the subscribe button there so you don't miss any Leadership Lean In. And leave a comment about rocks or laughing or people that you would like to make laugh in your life. But we are excited because today is... I got to hit the table again. Episode 150.
Let's go.
We are 100. Can I get it? Do you have a club?
I was about to do it.
Today is episode 150.
Let's go.
We did it. 150 episodes. How many episodes do you think Bill Simmons has?
It's got to be at least 1,500. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be.
We're 10, at 150.
A lot.
Joe Rogan's at how many?
I think he's at almost 2,000.
2,000 episodes. We are slowly inching our way to 200, everybody. But we are proud of ourselves because it has only taken us 4 years to get to 150. Yeah. Five years.
Yeah, wow. 5 years. Really.
This thing has been going 5 years. But, you know, we limped along. I'm going to talk about it. We just kind of like... We figured out our way into Leadership Lean In. And once we went every week, this pod has taken off. And by taking off, I mean there's at least 30 to 50 more people listening every week. I'm kidding. Thank you to killing everybody it. That's a part. Yeah, we're killing it. By whose standards, man? My own. But thank you to everybody that is a part of our, it's not a tribe. It is not a country. Mm. As many of you have heard on the internet, we are a nation. We call ourselves the Leaner Nation. And we got merch that is coming out today.
Let's go on our
socials and check out the new 150 merch. Leadership, Lean In, I'm a Leaner. And so grab yourself some of that new merch. I'm excited.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going. We're not quitting.
No.
This is not the finale. This is not the end of an era.
Right.
This is, we're just getting started, everybody.
Hey, we're going to take just a moment to shout out one of our sponsors. And over here at Leadership Lean In, we love the team at Overflow. And we love the product at Overflow. Just the other day, they sent us in a bunch of these new tap readers so that you can empower the people in your organization or that give to your organization to be able to give just with a tap of their phone with Apple Pay or Android. I don't know. Is it called Android Pay?
Google Pay? I don't know.
We love the team at Overflow, and they've been innovating the game of giving, the experience of fundraising and donations at such a fast and incredibly high pace. If you want to empower your people to give just like that, head on over to overflow.co/LLI to book a demo and get connected with our team right away.
Over here at Leadership Lean In, we, of course, value time, time management, resource management, and sometimes you're just at a place in life, in your organization, in your leadership, where you got to delegate. You have to bring other people in to help you be the best leader that you can be and help your organization achieve the things that it needs to achieve. And so when you need help, when you need assistance, Belay is the answer. They are the ones that are there for you. Our friends at Belay have the flexible staffing solutions you need to delegate the details and free yourself up to lead. So whether it's administrative, accounting, social media, Belay's exceptional US-based talent can take it right off your plate. So to help you get started, Belay is offering a free download of their ebook, Rise Up and Lead Well. Learn how you can spend more time focused on doing what only you can do and leverage the power of delegation. Just text LEANER, that's LEANER, to 55123 for your free copy. That's LEANER, LEANER, to 55123. Find the right hire right now with Belay. Back to the podcast.
Okay, I want to talk today about five things I've learned in 150 episodes so of good. Leadership Lean In. And maybe I would phrase it this way. These are five things that keep reoccurring, five things we talk about a lot, five things that you'll hear us continually hound. I think a lot of times with leadership, it's not you hear a new truth, it's that you're reminded of a great truth. I love that about life and leadership, that I'm always like, oh, that's right, I forgot. Mm-hmm. I heard this video of Simon Sinek talk about leadership yesterday, and he was talking about this simple truth. I'm like, that's so still so profound to me. So a lot of times it's like, I just got to go back and not pick up something new. I got to go back to that old truth, that fundamental value. It's not something new and sexy all the time. It's something that actually has been proven and tested over time. Here's the first thing that you're going to hear at Leadership Lean In. Number one, it is the compound of consistency. Mm. Hit me with the James Clear real fast. We don't got it on here?
I think we took him off? We took him off. Sorry, James.
He's a top five guy.
We can bring him back.
For us that we've never met, we don't know personally.
No.
He's a dream guest.
We're gonna meet James Clear.
Do you think he lives in
LA? 100%. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know where he lives. But he's going to be our friend. That's a foregone conclusion. James, we can't wait to have you as a guest. Can't wait to get a coffee
Tag
with
James
you. I got a few jokes I'm going to work with you.
Seems pretty serious. I don't know.
Yeah. We got some shells to give you.
I can put together a little.
Sells seashells. We're going to have you. We can't wait to have you on. Clearly, we haven't scared you. But we talk about this all the time. The compound of consistency. Just keep doing it constantly. Keep on going. This is the reality. Greatness doesn't happen in a day. It happens daily. Mm-hmm. You just keep on going. Keep on. I had some guys over on Saturday night, and I was talking to them about, I was asking these guys, they're younger. I said, have you guys ever heard of Malcolm Gladwell? And they were like, I think I know who that is. And I was telling them, you know, Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule. Mm-hmm. Put 10,000 hours into your craft. And I started using in the book Outliers, he talks about, you know, the Beatles. He tells stories about different, you know, professions that put 10,000 hours in. And to me, that 10,000 hour rule is something like the compound of consistency. Let's take Leadership Lean In. We're getting better at Leadership Lean In. Why? Because we keep doing it.
Right.
Yep.
And we keep getting this rhythm and this flow. We're doing it every week. We're recording podcasts and you get better at it. I actually just went back this last week and watched episode 2. It's Rich and I.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm watching myself 5 years ago going, oh, I'm cringing. I'm like, oh, I didn't know how to do a pod yet. Mm. I didn't know how to host. I didn't know what that, I know how to talk, but I didn't know how to lead a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think you got to do something consistently to get great at.
It's the
compound of consistency. And I find that people that do things every once in a while, I'm going to eat healthy for a stretch. I'm going to be good with my money for a little while, and then I'm not good with my money. I'm going to work really hard, and then I'm going to lay back. Anything that is inconsistent can never be great. It can never succeed. It can never do well. It is all about being consistent. And I think everyone in your world is counting on you to show up and be the same person every day. And as you do that, you get a little bit better, a little bit stronger, a little bit healthier. I like always looking back and going like, man, 3 years ago, we were so much weaker than we are today. Mm. Man, last year at this time, I remember it was not even close to what I feel today. How did I get better today than I was a year ago? Just kept working.
Right.
Showing up. Showing up is not half the battle. I think it's the total battle. Compound of consistency. Don't let that inconsistency thing go where it's, you go in spurts or stretches and they're good for a while and then they're bad for a while. No, just keep going, keep showing up. The more you do that, I think the more you build confidence in yourself, the more you build trust in others, and the better you get. Greatness doesn't happen in a day. And that's the lie that's like, oh, I can just show up and be great. No, right. It's like it takes hours.
Right.
It takes years. It takes faithfulness. It takes time. And then you get really good at telling a joke, mm-hmm. hosting a pod, or fill in the blank for your profession. How does that land and register for you guys when we talk about this constantly?
Totally. I think like when you are naturally gifted at something, you can hide behind that for a while. And I've seen so many people do that, and I've done that in certain aspects, and then once you know that runs out or you're faced with a new situation, it's like, okay, you can really tell when those 10,000 hours or however many hours are not there. I remember in seventh grade, my teacher, we're going back.
I like this a lot. I like where we're going.
My
seventh grade April.
Yeah.
Braces, I'm guessing.
No. Theater,
yes.
Great.
Yeah. My homeroom teacher was asking me about how I was studying for something. And it's like, okay, what's your study method? How do you study? And I was like, I don't study. And but I got really great grades. And he's like, that's great that you've been able to make this far without that. But that is not going to last you very long.
Yeah.
And that value is the same with it's what you're talking about. Like you can fake it for a little bit. Mm. But the lack of preparation is going to. You're going to be exposed.
Yeah, that's right.
There's this Bruce Lee quote. Big fan of Bruce Lee over here. but he said, I don't fear a man who's practiced 10,000 kicks once. I fear a man who's practiced one kick 10,000 times.
There we go.
And it's like, it's that whole thing. You want to get, it is the hardest thing to measure in a leader, especially if you're trying to onboard someone. How do you measure their consistency and longevity?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like you just kind of got to cross your fingers.
Yeah, you're hoping.
And hope. But that's ultimately the two biggest traits that I would see in a leader that creates trust.
Yeah.
And
same person.
The same person. Right. 5 years ago, you were this person. You've grown in your skills and talents, but you're the same person.
Same person. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's only over time.
It's over time, and I think that everything happens over time. You build trust over time. Is that I think when I think about the compound word, we crushed consistency thought. Let's think about compound. Your reputation keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your gift keeps growing. All these things. So I saw this stat about Warren Buffett, and it showed his net worth at like 30 versus what it is today, and it shows the jumps per year. And that's just compound interest.
Yeah.
So you just see it flip.
Yep.
Like all of a sudden he's like, you know, he's at 30 mil. All of a sudden it's like hundreds of millions. Hundreds of millions into like a billion. He hit a bill. Then he hit 6 billion. It's that interest. It's that compounding effect. And I think you got to get that wheel effect going for you. And anytime you step off the team, anytime you take a break, anytime you see people feel defeated because they're like, how do I get back in? How do I start it again? Oh man, I was eating so good. I always relate it to practical things because it's the practical things. If you can wrestle down that stuff,
right.
It's just who you are. Then.
Yeah.
You're not even starting to eat healthy. It's just, I live a lifestyle of eating healthy.
And I don't know if we realize that we pay so much attention to compounding the positive things. Oh, I gotta form this habit, do this thing. But I don't know if we realize that when we don't put in the effort and we don't put in the consistent work, we're still compounding going the wrong direction.
That's right.
You already mentioned Malcolm Gladwell, but he, in his book, The Tipping Point.
Love The Tipping Point.
Right? It's like the 10,000 hours leads up to this tipping point where Buffett would have those jumps. But it's like everything leading up to the tipping point feels like no progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
So that.
Yeah. And I think, but you know, a big part of leadership to me is like, how can you handle the shadows? How can you handle the loneliness of leadership? Because to have that compound of consistency is like, it's a lot of work when nobody's around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of input when no one's watching you. And so like, to me, it's like, it goes back to the idea of being a self-starter. Yeah. How excited you are to study, to work, to prepare, to organize. All that stuff to me is, like, if you're going to be great, in my opinion, there's so much thinking involved. There's so much work when no one else is around. There's no pep talk. Mm-hmm. It's that whole thought we were talking about a couple episodes. No one else is coming to help you.
Right.
You got to lead yourself. And so that to us is a big deal here at Leadership Lean In our nation, undivided, mm-hmm. one nation under God.
Under God.
Indivisible, with leadership and justice for all.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, anyways. Number two, the greatest leaders are servant leaders. Talk about this constantly, serving. Most people think that leadership is a position or it's power. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. We've talked about this 150 times. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So you, if you're at the top of your organization, that doesn't mean you're a leader. Leadership is taking care of the people that you've been empowered to oversee. How do you serve them? How do you love them? How do you help them? And so we become confident in ourselves, very secure in who we are, so that we can add, give, bless, help, aid, come alongside. And a weak leader to me is a user. A weak leader to me is someone that's looking to leverage and monetize and gain for themselves. But a great leader is always looking to help, bless, serve. So leadership to me is serving. This morning I sat in the van with my boys on the way to school, and I asked them today, we were recording today on Tuesday. I said, boys, what day of the week is it?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, boys. That's right. What do we eat on Tuesday, boys?
Tacos.
That's right. We're having tacos today. All right, you feeling good today, boys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the energies, we got to pick it up, boys. We got to pick up the energy. And then I asked him, I said, okay, let me ask you a question today. Are you a follower or are you a leader?
Leader.
Yep, that's right. You're a leader. And what is a leader? And Maverick, without skipping a beat, servant. Oh, that's right, son. Leadership is serving. And what is a servant? Pause. Long pause. No words. Come on, boys. Come on. What is a servant?
I don't know.
And so I'm reminding them, it's serving, looking to help your teacher, help a classmate, help a friend, help someone that needs defending, help someone that's lonely. It's looking outwards, not looking inwards. Leadership to me is taking the arrows of that selfish, narcissistic heart and bending them out to look at others. It's not going, here I am. It's going, there you are, and I see you, and you're a big deal, and you're great, and you're awesome, and I believe in you, and there's something special about you, and there's something on your life. That to me is moxie.
Yeah. Mm.
A hired leader is just looking to take. I got to get to the next level. I got to use this as a stepping stone. I'm trying to get to where they are. A weak leader is always looking at where they are and trying to get there. You're never going to get there, by the way. Mm. You are never going to get to where they are, because guess what? You didn't start where they started. You don't have the same last name that they have. You're not from the bloodline and lineage and have the inheritance that they have. So you're never going to get there. Getting to where you want to go is tapping into your full God-given potential.
Yep.
And so you have to do that through I'm telling you, the gateway into greatness is through the servant's gates. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The greatest of them all is the servant of them all. So you've got to become a better servant.
Mm.
Most people are so focused and fixated on, I want to be a better leader. Great. You want to know who always has a job? The one that adds value.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know who always has an invitation? The one that adds value. You want to know who's always praised and bragged about behind their back? The one that adds value, because they come to add, not to take. And this to me is leadership. The best leaders are looking to give and help and bless.
It's great.
I stole all of that for my kids.
Yeah.
When I was dropping them off out of school on Friday. Hey, what's a leader? Are you leaders or followers? I stole the whole bit.
Yeah.
And the first time, I don't know, Dad.
Yeah.
And I still say it, you know, leaders are servants. Are we looking to serve
our
teacher today? Serve, you know.
It's good.
When I heard that the first time, I was like, this is so brilliant. And by the way, I'm reminding myself the same thing when
there
I tell my kids.
There you go. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We have that motto thing that we do, you know, and every time we say this phrase, I humble myself to serve. Every time we say it, I go, that's right, joker. Because that thing's lurking in you. Ego and pride lurking in you. Yeah. You've got to arrest it so you're ready to serve. Otherwise, if you don't, I think we have to acknowledge how selfish we're wired.
Yeah.
We're wired selfish. We're born takers. Mm-hmm. Me, mine. These are our first words.
Yep.
Mine. You know, we're born this way. I've got to arrest this guy to go, nope, today, go give help.
Totally. So
does that make sense?
Yeah. I think also, if you haven't been around true leaders and good leaders, great leaders, you don't always know. You can't, if you don't see the behind the scenes, maybe you don't know this, that the platform, the influence, the leadership that you see is just an overflow of all that humility and the serving. And that's something that I just saw an overflow of here when I came to Zoe, is I see these leaders, the staff, you and Pastor Julia, on stage, you know, having these moments of influence and leadership over this group of people, but they don't see the hours and the serving and the meetings and everything. And that was really, I think, like eye-opening for me is, wow, okay, those few moments on the stage that make such an impact are only because of the servanthood that happens Monday through Saturday.
That's exactly right. And I think the lie, the deception of leadership is to go, if they're at the top, that they're a great leader. No, they're not. No, they're not. It doesn't matter whether you're in the bottom, the middle, or the top. You show me any position and I will tell you it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the position. It always matters the person. Mm-hmm. What is the person about? What is their mission? What is their vision? What is their values? What are they about as a person? And if you can nail that down, you will never be boxed in. Think about the title of your life. If someone says, I was actually listening to this thing this morning about Jay Shetty, and they were saying Jay Shetty, you know, he's a podcaster, he's an author, he's a da-da-da. And in LA especially, it feels like everybody wants to box you in based upon a title. Mm-hmm. So you're this, you're that, you're
da-da-da.
What do you do? What do you do? Yeah, what do you do? What do you do? So what do you do? What do you do? I think when you're great, if you're really a leader, a title could never describe you.
Right.
Right.
You cannot be limited or boxed in to author, podcaster, or whatever, fill in the blank. It's who you are that's like, oh, you don't even, I'm telling you, this person has made such an impact on my life. That to me is leadership. Number three, if at first you don't succeed, get up and try again. We talk about grit a lot, having that ability to have resilience, that I'm not going to quit. I'm not throwing in the towel. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I know it's old school, but it's like you got to develop that backbone, that resilience. One of my favorite proverbs, though a righteous man falls seven times, he still rises. Why does it say that he still rises? Because it's not about the seven times. It's about the real testimony of your life is the fact that you got up and you tried again. And most people are not afraid of failure. They're afraid of the identity of failure, that I've been marked or labeled. Cancel. No one can cancel you. Only you can stop you. Only you can cancel you. Everybody loves a comeback story. And so we love it when you fail, but you got back up. We love it when you had an issue, even a moral failure, fill in the blank, as drastic or as terrible as it could be. We love it when someone bounces back with authenticity and a genuine spirit and a genuine repentance and goes, I'm not going to be that person. Who doesn't love that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got to develop that grit. I feel one of my issues about leaders that pick and choose it's like going through a buffet line. I will choose this scenario, and if the scenario is perfect, I'm all in. What I have noticed is that the scenario has never been perfect for me.
Not once. Right.
It's just never like looked the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
It's just never been like, oh, there it is. And then every time I have felt like, well, it's getting close, something changes.
Mm-hmm.
Life is change. Growth is optional.
Right.
You got to develop a grit. Didn't one of our friends write a book, Don't Quit in the Grit?
Bianca Olthoff. Grit Don't Quit.
Grit Don't Quit. And I'm going to be with him tomorrow, Sean Nepp's dad.
Oh.
Don't Quit in the Dip.
Ah.
He wrote that.
Stop.
Yeah, Don't Quit in the Dip.
That's great.
I'm about 100%.
It's an investing book.
No. But there we go. That's invest when you're down. Hello.
Right.
Invest when you're down. And I think, you know, this week that we're recording the podcast is 4 years since COVID.
Mm.
4 years. Our, what we lead is almost older past COVID than it was before COVID.
Wow.
And pre-COVID, this thing that I get to be a part of was humming, going, you know, three campuses and conferences, merch and tours and music and blah, 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 college, fit, you know, just going. Dip.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 2 years, no Sunday mornings. Then you come back and it's like, what I've learned, especially the last 2 years, is you got to have grit, man.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have resilience. You got to say that might be what other people are doing, but I've already decided years ago what I'm about.
Yeah.
And I got to keep that resolve and that resilience and that determination that I will not be influenced by other people's decisions because are you a leader, son, or are you a follower? Oh, I'm a leader. And you got to develop that grit because life ebbs and flows, highs and lows. Good days, bad days, mountaintop of success, valley of despair. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to be?
Right.
What are you going to be about? We don't know how good you are in success. Success brings its own slew of issues and options, but failure will tell us who you really are. And I want to be somebody that I can lead myself out of a funk, out of a trial, out of a tribulation, out of a storm. And to me, I'm more proud of how I handle the dips than I do the success.
That's really good. I love it. What would you say is a good kind of way to discern the line of, you know, the stepping out of something? I think, you know, whether it's you're quitting or whether it's, I'm trying to find the words here, whether you're giving up or whether you're finding that something's not right for you.
Wow, that's great. So you're almost flirting with the idea of quiet quitting. We've been talking about quiet quitting. I think a lot of people get so frustrated that they just quietly remove themselves from the scenario or the situation at the table. I think that what you're hitting on, what's not working for you versus what, give me the other part again, is it's your
like giving up versus this actually isn't where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that is very important. And that's big picture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the big picture, I think that transitions aren't always quitting. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Like, cause you can still transition, but not remove your vision, values, and standards.
Absolutely. You can move on and move forward.
That's, yeah. There you go.
That's good.
That's a better way to say it. You can move on, but say it again.
You can move on and move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what I'm talking about is people that quit, they're quitting on the mandate that's on their life.
Mm. They're quitting on themselves.
They're calling themselves. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
A lateral move into a different proximity or position is not a quitting to me.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that what I get afraid of is people that just like, they're sitting on their gift, sitting on their talent, sitting on their calling.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer. Whatever sidelined, whatever scenario, cocktail of emotions or decisions that sideline them.
It's never one thing.
Yeah, it's never one.
Never no. one thing takes someone out.
No, never. It's a compound of, like you said, in the negative way, and pretty soon it's just like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a bummer. That's a bummer for people because all you want for people is you want them to win.
Yeah.
You want them to move forward. You want them to grow, evolve, change. And I think that the best way to change, the best way to grow is through serving others.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't stop doing that.
Right.
This whole grit thing, I feel like it's a muscle.
Yeah.
You know, and the people who force themselves into gritty situations tend to have a higher level of, I don't know, pain tolerance might not be the word for it, but
yeah.
You know, they can go through. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours and he said, I'm taking the boys to go run the sand dunes.
Wow.
You know, he has some young boys. They got to carry a medicine ball. Huh. I said, why would you put them through that? He said, they told me. They asked me.
Wow.
And they said, Dad, if I cry, make me do it again until I don't. And I was like, how did you do that? Right? And he said, well, I used to take him to the Culver City steps. We used to do the steps. Wow. And now
develop it.
Grit, they want more of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Physical and metaphorical grit.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. I like it.
True grit.
True grit. Mm. Don't quit in the grit dip.
Don't quit in the dip if it's quit. I don't know.
Next one. I love this. Get comfortable in your own skin. Get comfortable in your own skin. You know, I think I've told this story before. Chris Hodges, you know, he said if he can give every leader one gift, it would be the gift of security. Mm. It's just really hard to follow an insecure leader. It's just, it's very difficult. We can see it from a mile away when someone's insecure, when they're plagued with it. I've said it before, but I think it's good that you have a touch of insecurity. Like insecurity, I also think leads to self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm going to put on my outfit and my hat and my clothes and I'm aware of how I come across and how people will perceive me. And I don't want to live in the fear of man, but I got to be aware to win people. So there's that value of, you know, making sure I'm aware of how I come across. So there's that, but I want to be totally confident and secure in who I am.
Yeah.
That is such a huge weapon in leadership, that I am me. I am the contrast. I am different. I am not like everybody else. I am my own personality. I am my own gift mix. And I think everybody's on a journey to get really comfortable in their own skin. I'm excited about being me. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I was with they did this big like pep rally for our basketball team. So the whole school's there, a couple thousand kids. And there's this announcer, and we're coming out of the locker rooms, beautiful gym, coming out there announcing each of us. And we come out in our warm-ups and the whole school go crazy, and the pep band and the cheerleaders, and we come around, and you know, then we're doing like these drill, like layup line and like shooting contests and all this. It's like a whole scene. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're announcing all the guys on my basketball team, and like so-and-so, da da da, and like their nickname. Yeah. You know, and then it's 6'9", you know, center. Shooting all-star, you know, this best guy on our team is named Brandon Stone. Shout out to Brandon Stone. This guy was like Dirk Nowitzki before Dirk. This guy's insane. One of the best basketball players I've ever played with. He's a killer. So, yeah. And then I'll never forget when they announced me. And at shooting guard, 6'2", 100-and-nothing pounds, Chad. And they go, chicken legs, Veach. And a whole place, you know, erupts, and I come running out. You know, what's that? And I'm like,
so good.
You know, and I got these skinny legs, and I've been through people my whole life. People walk up and be like, "Oh, did you know did you know you have skinny legs?" I'm like, "No,
get out.
Are you serious? Stop." I'm using this story to say, like, from a young age, I was just like, this is the way God made me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't fight that. You can't fight your gift mix. You can't fight your personality, your Enneagram, whatever. It's who you are.
Right.
Get excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and find me a rock and a shell. And
you know, I knew we were going there. But, you know, it's been a journey. I don't know if I would have talked about my rock collection.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Right.
Yeah.
Come a long way.
And I think even that, right? When you're really secure, you can make fun of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not afraid, you know, or if people are making fun of you, you can jump in on the joke, you know, because you're just not precious. You're not, you know, no, you're trying to. I think being a great leader is also giving the impression that people don't have to walk around you on eggshells.
Yeah.
You just crush them. Hey, just so you know, I'm going to make fun of myself. And so there's no eggshells here. It's going to be hard for people to succeed around you if they're always on eggshells.
Yeah.
But wondering, you know, who you are today and can I joke around? That's not a place, an environment you want to create around you. So I think the value that you should commit to is being confident and comfortable in your own skin, loving who you are. I love myself and therefore I can love others.
That's right.
I'm happy with me. Here's another convo this morning in the van. So I said, this is a great one. I said, hey, you guys ever see Mean Kids at School? Mm. And they're like, yeah. I mean, you ever see, you know, like a hater? And they're like, yeah. I said, remember, if a kid is mean at school, they don't like themselves. That's why they're being mean to others. Mm. So just recognize, boys, that when someone's being mean, they're mad at themselves. So they're taking it out on others. So we need to have compassion on that person and help love them because they don't like themselves.
Yeah.
The way you treat yourself is the way you will treat others. Mm. And so if I'm harsh, critical, and mean to me, I will be harsh, mean, and critical to others. How could I give away what I can't? Come on, I got to treat myself with love and patience and perspective and grace. Then I'll give that same measure.
That's good.
And that's what Jesus is teaching us, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. So I think this is a big, big thing with leaders, just getting comfortable with who you are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's been a struggle my whole life is trying not to live up to an expectation or a role. If you don't know, if you're not confident in who you are, you'll fall into the role that other people want you to fall into.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a scary place to be because you'll end up eventually believing it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you'll lose your identity. So I think what you're talking about, being strong, being understanding, it starts with the idea, in order to figure out who you are, you have to start reflecting. You have to take moments to hey, what do I believe?
Mm. Yeah.
Who am I really? Mm. And unless you do that, then you're always going to be told who you are.
That's right.
It's good.
And as a leader, you'll never be able to lead other people into their identity or into their, you know, to live out their potential, because you're only living up to other people's potential of you.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
That could be, that's tragic. It could be tragedy.
Yeah.
And it does take, sometimes I feel like those moments of being in crisis, of realizing, oh my gosh, this is a big deal to me right now.
Yeah.
You can't always see it on the day to day, but I can even think of a few moments. Both of you have seen me in some very low moments of, you know, of insecurity, of fear, of, oh my gosh, who am I? What's going on?
Mm.
And I feel like those moments, though, are huge growing opportunities.
Yes.
They have been for me.
Yes.
To come out on the other side, looking at that moment of crisis or whatever and being like, okay, yeah, I get to decide who I am, how I feel about, you know, the situation of how other people view me. Because insecurity comes in many different forms and
absolutely,
in many different ways and areas. And you have so many opportunities to grow from that. And if you're not fully secure right now, it might not be a one-time decision to be like, you know what? I think I'm awesome all the way around, inside and out.
Yeah.
It takes time and experiences to learn where you are insecure.
That's right.
And to come out of, you know, moments and make those decisions.
That's right. And I think it's always important to put yourself in vulnerable situations that might hit that insecurity button to develop that strength.
Do you remember Milan from
Prevail? Of course, Prevail.
We sparred once.
Yeah.
And he punched me and my knees went. Like I was out on my feet for a second.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever got like knocked out.
Wow.
And I came to and I was kind of like, that wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
I'm not as fragile as I thought, and I had this confidence. And I remember like the first time socially, like, you know, I told my mom I liked a girl and my mom met her and told her.
Okay.
So shout out to Karen.
Okay. This is disturbing.
But in that moment, it was, you know, the worst thing in the history of the world.
Yeah.
A couple days later, she was like, hey, I like you too.
Wow.
And dang. I remember going like, wait a second. Like, it's not that I'm not as hurt. It's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My greatest fears aren't the end of the world.
Yes. Yeah, that's so right. They're not.
I became comfortable.
Yeah. You get comfortable. And I think, In a good way, no one really cares about you. I don't know how to say this in a nicer way, but like, you're not a big deal to most anybody. Like, you're another person, and people are so self-consumed that they're not really thinking about you. So get over yourself.
So
get over your issues. Most people really do love you and accept you, and they just don't like that version of you that's really insecure. They will not tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
People will tolerate, Craig Rochelle says people would rather work with the real you. Than the fake you. So last one, here's the fifth one. You hear from us a lot. And I close with this. Keyboard player, come join me. That guy, you know, it's a podcast, bro. The last thing we talk about all the time is leadership is communication. It's becoming a great communicator. And I think a great communicator communicates in every form very well, through text, through email, in person, body language, everything you are and do is sending a message of preparation, sending a message of confidence, sending a message of love and acceptance, or fill in the blank for the message you want to send. But you got to be a great communicator, and you will only get frustrated with you and your leadership if you refuse to communicate your expectations or communicate your frustrations, communicate your letdowns. Hey, I was hoping for something better here. Hey, I want to communicate. I didn't like it when you did this or said that. And I find that a lot of leaders are more passive aggressive than they realize. And they'd rather just like hope that their silence and their cold shoulder is going to improve somebody. It's not going to improve somebody. Right. It's going to frustrate everybody around you. You need to verbalize. You need to communicate your expectations. I think the great thing about leadership is going like, here are our values, here is our culture, and everybody play within this. And if somebody steps out of that, we just go, hey, this is what we all agreed that we would live by. So if you can get back into this, great. But if not, then we got to make decisions. I think you got to communicate your expectations, communicate where you're at, where you're going, communicate your vision. How about that one? Andy Stanley talks about how vision leaks. Just people lose it. So I got to pump the people back up and in and fill them with vision again. So I think, you know, when you wake up to serve as a leader, you should be thinking, how do I serve people? I communicate. And the best way I can serve my team and the best way I can serve my world, the best way I can serve my family is by talking.
Yeah.
People are not getting better by you thinking all the time. They get better when you're communicating your love, your appreciation, your gratitude, your honor. You have to talk. And the quieter you are, the more people guess. Are they okay? Are they mad? Are we good? Are we all right? Are they for me? Are they with me? Did anything change? No, talk. Wake up and communicate. So we're 150 in. I say we go for at least 50 more. I don't know what we're going to do at 200. 200, we might meet in Cabo, Vegas.
Wow.
Miami. Milan. Maybe Milan.
Wow.
You just gave me an idea.
Okay.
Maybe Leadership Leaning Live in Italy.
Italy. Okay.
Europe. Paris. Oh, who knows? The world is our oyster. We're leaders. We can do whatever we want. We make it happen.
We're a mobile nation.
We make it happen. We're a mobile nation. Pick up the merch. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment on the pod. Ask a leadership question. Let us know who was your favorite guest in the first 150 or a favorite pod, a favorite episode. And let us know if you're going to continue with us as a nation. Wow. We love you. We'll see you soon.